So this week's episode, introducing Ruminations from the Record Store. Today we are chatting with Ken, and he's going to give us a little rundown on what he's about, what his podcast is going to be about, and give us a little insight on what's coming up next from Ruminations Radio Network. Ken, welcome.
Thanks so much, man. I appreciate it. I'm a huge music junkie. I love flipping through vinyl. And I just really want to brag about all my records that I find when I go into garage sales and record stores and, ordering absurdly priced records online or finding cool color variants and stuff like that.
Show and tell for the new age.
Yeah, just showing off my finds. And I'd love to see what other people pick up. So I'll invite some of my friends and we'll all kind of, discuss.
That's awesome. I was wondering, and I didn't get a chance to do a little bit of my research because I was running a little bit late today. But if you don't mind, I want to kind of take us back a little bit and chat about vinyl and about records.
What a great time to actually have this conversation too, because so as of I believe it was last week, the first time since 1986, vinyl outsold CDs in national sales. So we are back, I guess.
You said that's just last week?
Yeah. So this was last week or 2 weeks ago. And it was actually in culmination with Record Store Day. Record Store Day obviously was a huge boost to total units sold. But for the first time since 1986, vinyl outsold CD format. So
that shocks me. That can't be the first time. I feel like they've been making a comeback for a while now.
It's been quite a while, but I guess, CDs are still the format, I guess if you're going to buy the physical format, CDs have still not been really replaced by something, outside of the digital medium. So, it's kind of an interesting time. And like I said, Record Store Day was obviously a huge boost to that. Record Store Day this year obviously was a little bit unusual. it was postponed quite a few times, and ultimately what they landed on as being the safest, healthiest option was to split up the event over a 3-month period. So one in late August, one in late September, and then one in late October. So we still have two more Record Store Days, which is also fun.
Kind of a win there then, I guess, even if they had to change it up a little bit, like now we get three.
Yeah. And what it really allowed for a lot of the smaller, companies to do is to be able to actually manufacture without a lot of the constraints that we've experienced on everything from, try buying a washing machine right now or a refrigerator or try buying a vehicle or, everyone is experiencing these restraints. So, the record industry is not immune to that. So they've been having their own struggles. So this just gives everyone an equal opportunity to get their stuff out there and manufacture enough units to meet demand and stuff too.
Has it been steadily climbing for a number of years? I mean, when do you think this really kind of kicked off, this kind of rebirth of vinyl?
I mean, I feel like the resurgence has been maybe since the early 2000s, but
that long.
Record Store Day has been going on since 2008, which is, it's always been kind of an event, more than anything, but yeah. It is a boost to sales. It's actually the equivalent of like Black Friday for a lot of record stores. But what's really great about it is even big musicians, big artists and stuff, they are really supporting these smaller record stores just so that doesn't go, the way of the dinosaur. I think the resurgence, I had a friend who I'm going to absolutely invite onto my podcast. He doesn't know this yet, but he will.
He's coming.
And he used to run a record store in my hometown. Uh-huh. And so that was in the early 2000s. And, it was just, like a little record store clothing shop, and they would order you extra stuff. And, But that it's almost like a camaraderie. I mean, there's nothing better than just kind of hanging out at a record store and flipping through albums and stuff. And I think that people, even in the digital medium, when CDs became prevalent, like people still wanted that, you know, people still wanted Empire Records and they still wanted that experience, you know.
I still blame Empire Records and High Fidelity for my retail career because they made it so appealing. I was like, okay.
Yeah.
Totally.
Unfortunately, it's nothing like that, right?
not really at all. You know, you said, you know, you go and people wanted that, and even when things became compact discs. So when we talk about record stores, are you allowing for, like, hey, if someone goes and they buy CDs, it's not, you're not just speaking just about actual vinyl, but the actual record store experience, going down there and buying your music physically.
Right, right. Yeah, because I think, I think that's why there should always be a brick and mortar option for all mediums, whether it's books or video games or music, but nothing really compares to the experience of going down and having someone judge your buying options and, you know, your selections, like going to your local record store and having them kind of snicker at your choices.
No, that's really a good point. I can't remember if it was a movie I was just watching, but someone was talking about how they kept when they were younger, they were very concerned with what they were walking up to the counter with for the records to play to ring them up with versus like later in their life, like, that's fine. I'm just going to buy what I want. But yeah, that's a thing.
Dude, did you ever experience that? Is that did you ever experience like, man, this guy is so going to laugh at me with when I bring up this,
you know, maybe not quite laugh at me, but the Cure's album, Wild Mood Swings, and Pantera's album, Southern Trendkill,
right,
came out on the same day, and I was at the midnight launch at Zia Records in Tucson, and I didn't see everybody in line, but I feel like I was the only guy in line with both in my hand, like, you know. So that was an experience. I was like, I wasn't one crowd or the other. I had both, and I thought they might judge me a little bit.
Yeah, and you know what, dude? Those are my favorite people. I think my first, my first day working at our current establishment, it was just a bunch of, it was the release of Battlefield Hardline. It was just a bunch of big burly, you know, dudes and jocks and stuff. And then this like 4.5 foot tall little Asian kid comes up and he's like, yo, give me Final Fantasy Type Zero. And I was like, my man.
Yeah,
for you, bro. Like, wait a lot between all these sweaty jocks, you know.
Yeah.
So, awesome. It's the experience. I think that's more than anything what people are yearning for. But you know, buying music on iTunes doesn't do that for you, or buying music on, or even, you know, I love Spotify. I love being able to have access to billions of songs at my disposal, but at the same time, like, I also want to pay for that experience, and I want to buy physical things and support bands in that way. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously bands don't make as much money through a record sale, but you know, buy a t-shirt, buy a concert ticket, see them on tour, you know, that kind of a thing.
Yeah, I don't think you're alone there. I think a lot of us want to support our artists. The fact that there is a thing created called Patreon, you know, it shows that people want to contribute to things that they love.
Right.
And even through all this, Natalie and I made a specific effort to order some merch from some of our bands who couldn't tour. You know, it's going to help them. And I get what you're saying. It's kind of nice, like Spotify, Apple Music, you know, that easy access is cool. And this is a topic we can hit later on or whatever, but that experience of hunting and searching and getting that physical media in your hand.
Yeah.
That's something to, I don't know. I don't want to say like our experience is better than kids who never experienced that, but it's definitely a different level, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I think if anything, you know, I'll show off some pictures of some of the stuff that I've picked up recently. I have a particular fondness for used records.
Yes.
I think a lot of it is, I like enjoying something that someone else has also thoroughly enjoyed. You know, like I like album sleeves that are worn and they have, you know, they actually have the indentation of the album in there. I love when people write their names on album covers and then it's been passed down, you know. So you see some random dude's name on an album cover. Cause I have album covers that have my, that were my uncle's. Uh-huh. And, so it's got my mother's maiden name on it. And, that's actually my son's first name. Uh-huh. So I have some like Beatles albums that have my son's name written on it that my uncle hand wrote on there.
Yeah.
And I inherited. So I love that stuff. I have a bunch of records that came from radio stations that would notch. They would literally cut notches into the albums. So it would
like the physical vinyl.
Yeah. No, I'm sorry. Not the vinyl itself, into the sleeve.
Okay.
And it would just indicate to which DJ was, you know, hey, this is mine based on this notch cutout. So I just love that stuff, man. I love handwritten notes like play track 3 or, you know, I think that stuff is just really, really cool.
That is really cool, man. That's really interesting because when I go to a used bookstore, I love finding later, even after I have the book, like sometimes you'll be going through the book and like an old bookmark will fall out.
Mm-hmm.
Or you'll find a note in there. Like I've found like little personal notes in books that I've purchased. And I never thought about records that same way, like that little slice of history, and you knew that someone else had enjoyed that.
Yeah. It's something that you get from a physical medium that you don't get from a digital medium. There's just a kind of, if there's personality attached to it.
Yeah.
And you know, buying a new record is just as fun because you know, tear off the sleeve and it's got like the stickers on there or the price, like price stickers on there. I love leaving that stuff on there or throwing it inside the case just, you know, for whoever the next person is that gets to enjoy it as well.
So are you particularly fond of vinyl for all those things, or are you specifically searching for that dynamic range that vinyl provides that digital doesn't? Is it a combination?
It's not a snobbiness because it's totally true. You know, there's the whole thing that vinyl is superior and it is. I mean, but that's not my argument all the time. I played my vinyl out of a shitty record player, you know? But I particularly like things that don't come from a digital file, things like scratches and pops in a specific spot. And then you know, no one wants a skipping record, but, you know, knowing that, you know, maybe a particular track is going to skip and you got to jump up and, you know, move that needle a little bit. And
that experience.
Make it more of an experience than just a casual, you know, just kind of like background noise for me.
Like the ritual, you know. I kind of liken it into like my morning coffee, as much as I'm, you know, hooked on the caffeine, but the ritual of like pouring myself that first cup and enjoying that. And it's, I almost feel better as soon as I've done it.
Right.
So, you know, you pop in like a disc or you drop the vinyl on the turntable. It's that action that I'm really attracted to.
Yeah.
Like it's you getting in the motions of it, you know?
Right. Well, and I mean, there's also a social aspect of it. Like obviously records for me or for Megan and I to just, my wife and I to just sit down and listen to records and drink and talk. That's, you know, so that's cool. That's our kind of our thing.
Yeah.
But, you know, that interaction that you have when a friend comes over and they like flip through your records and they're like, fuck yeah. Like they see that one and they're just like, bro, I did not realize that you had CNC Music Factory or, you know, whatever it is. And it just kind of like, it's, you know, it just breaks that, it just breaks those barriers down. You know, you're just, you realize that you're so much, you have so much in common with people based on your music choices.
Yeah. I think that, do you guys have listening parties, or is that just like a normal thing you guys do? Have you ever, do you like have like an isolated time where you sit down and listen to some like new album or some great find, or is it just so
we try to set time aside, you know, but it's, you know, it's easier if, you know, you just get off work and you're not gonna, man, sometimes like sitting on the couch and watching a show, like that's like a evening suicide. You know, it's like, well, I'm falling asleep, or God forbid you try and watch a movie. So for us, you know, we can burn through, you know, five sides of, you know, some different records, and I can kind of do a sampling of, you know, how my day went via a, a music sampling. And we just kind of share that, and we talk about our day, and we just do our thing, and we drink. And, but yeah, that's my favorite, you know, social interaction for actually just enjoying my record collection.
Yeah. That's beautiful, man. Like I cannot tell you how much I identify with that, like that. And I think there are a lot of people out there that do. I mean, yeah. I think it's kind of really part of it. I wanted to ask you a few questions.
For sure.
Real quick, just to get kind of another bit of background, another little taste. And I think you've hit a lot of this stuff already, but what are your earliest music memories?
I have a particular fondness, and this is a great part of mine and Megan's connection, is that my dad's favorite band is the Beatles. Uh-huh. And Megan's favorite band is the Beatles. So she has like a Beatles tattoo. And so the Beatles have always been a huge part of my musical like history. Sure. And then my mom had pretty eclectic musical tastes. Like that's my fondness for Patsy Cline, but also for Neil Young and Depeche Mode of all things. Like, so kind of a weird mix.
And those are from your mom?
Yeah, that's from my mom.
Okay.
And then I'm the youngest of five, so I also got a lot of inherited CDs, tapes, records. I mean, kind of all that stuff. But my sister, got me to fall in love with the Misfits and Danzig. And my oldest brother, it showed me the Beastie Boys and old school hip hop, like Wu-Tang Clan and stuff like that. And I kind of like inherited all of those things from my family. So it's kind of always been a thing. My mom used to play piano in our house and stuff. And I always really, really liked that when I was a little kid, but just kind of no one was like musically like really talented or anything, but it was just always widely accepted in my house. It was just like a really fun thing.
That immediately brings to mind for me that the movie Almost Famous. You seen that one?
Yeah, totally.
Like when she busts out the record collection, like bequeaths it to the kid.
Yeah.
Oh man, yeah, I love totally. That. I didn't have older brothers and sisters to bequeath anything, so I mean, all of it came pretty much directly from my dad.
Right, right. And I think that's always super important. I think the generational gap, besides just having an older brother or sister to show you something that is. Mm-hmm. Currently kind of, you know, something that you should listen to.
Sure.
That generational gap is super important. Like the things that were important to your parents, should also be important to you. Like you don't have to love it, you know, like I didn't totally love Patsy Cline when I was a kid, but my appreciation for old country, like real, like twangy country music, man, yeah. I thank my mom for that. It's, you know, so I think you have to inherit something from your parents.
Yeah. I think that's one that we can definitely put as a topic to hit somewhere down the line, because there's so many people now who very seldomly look back. What's that?
I said, oh, we're definitely coming back to that one. Yeah.
Okay.
You there?
Yeah. Are you there?
I'm here.
Okay, well, I guess that's a big edit right there. I got another question for you. What's your first record that you ever purchased with your own money?
I mean, as a kid, I missed records. Obviously, my first purchase was a tape. I think my first tape purchase. I think it was like an early Green Day. Tape, actually, and I don't even think I bought it. I think I had a double tape deck and I stole it from someone, you know, like I don't remember purchase. I used to have like a local like record store that sold used music, and I would just pick up like I would pick up stuff based off of the cover. So that's how I ended up with like a Daft Punk CD when I was like 8. And totally, I was like, well, that wasn't what I was thinking it was going to be. So I don't know. I don't know my first purchase. I remember some of my earliest purchases. Like I remember getting like Nirvana In Utero, which we've talked about, was one of like my favorite albums. And like the Wayne's World soundtrack when I was a kid. Because of Queen, you know, specifically. Just a lot of stuff like that.
What's the most recent record you purchased? If you purchased them in bulk, I guess, like it sounds like you often do. What's what would be the one that comes to mind first, most recent?
My most recent that I've been listening to quite a bit is that from Record Store Day, I got the Al Green is Blues album.
Yeah, I saw that picture.
It's, man, if you want to just sit down and listen to a record with your woman, that's it. That's the one. Yeah. That is the one.
That's beautiful. And this one, there's no way I expect an answer, but I had to just write it down anyway. Do you have this we're going to go right back to the specifically vinyl, not tapes, CDs, digital, favorite record to put on?
To put on? My most played record, which I'm actually probably due for a replacement, is probably Misfits, actually.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, Static Age from the Misfits is just one of my favorite records. It's actually pretty chill as far as like, you know, old school punk albums go. Mm-hmm. So it's good. It's good chill music. But it's also, they're all sing along songs, you know, so you can get just blitzed and sing along to every single song. On there.
I wonder how come we've never done karaoke.
We have. We actually have. Yeah. Round 4 karaoke, it's never going well. You know what I mean? Like it's always by the time I'm there and we're, you know, that's the idea. It's all bad news. Bad news.
And here's one. Do you have a most valuable record or do you collect them with that in mind at all?
I have a couple catalog like books and stuff. Those things are actually pretty out of date now with the kind of resurgence. There's Discogs is a great way to kind of catalog everything that you have versus what's out there, and so I've kind of kept track of some of them, but I don't think I have anything that's like uber valuable. I have some that are very meaningful. Like I have an original, it's a US press for Nevermind the Bollocks from the Sex Pistols. It was given to me by actually one of my teachers in high school. It was given to me by my government teacher, who's since passed away, but he was just a really cool guy. And he gave it to my girlfriend to give to me as a, like a birthday present or whatever. But I still tell everyone that he gave it to me.
That counts, absolutely.
Yeah, but I think that's my most valuable, like cherished record. Sure. I don't know how valuable it is. It's probably like, you know, 500,000 copies of that thing floating around still. So I don't think it's valuable, but it's valuable to me.
I think cherished makes more sense anyway. And I don't want to like judge anyone who does collect based on like monetary value, but I think a more purest way is to collect on based on your personal cherished memories and things that you love.
I think there's records out there that are probably extremely valuable because of how rare they are. And I think the people that are buying those and collecting those and just keeping them around, I am so grateful for those people because I don't have that kind of money. So I'm glad there's someone out there to do it for me.
it's a good way to look at it. Did I talk over you? Yeah, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
You know, one thing that I've always really respected about you is that level-headed, cool nature. You seem to have a real great ability to just kind of like view things from a very balanced and Zen-like perspective, you know, not being a student of, you know, Zen, but I don't know, just it's something that I think is really appealing about you and your nature.
Yeah, and I appreciate that.
What do you attribute that to? Is that just how you've always been?
No, I don't think so. I don't.
You've got it that way.
No, I'm just. I don't know. My parents were very patient people. They were just like, when you have that many kids, I mean, when you have five kids,
yeah,
and they're all kind of rambunctious, like you learn a lot of patience.
Yeah.
So I think I hope that I inherited some of that. I don't think I'm nearly as patient as my parents were, but that's definitely where some of the Zen would come from, I think.
Well, it's very, it's admirable, sir.
Appreciated.
Yeah. All right. Well, hey, that brings us to a point where we can take a break and get some station identification, maybe in some, grab some boxes and do the second half of this and chat some more with Ken and Ruminations from the Record Store.
Let's do it.